Today, yes.
Yeah, it's the 26th of March. This is Andrew Phillips. I'm with Mrs. Lillian Kayes, K-A-I-Z. It's interview number 382 in Chicago. And it's about coming on 11:30. They like all of this information. Let me start, Mrs. Kayes. Could you tell us what year you were born in and what year you immigrated?
I was born in 1913. Mm-hmm. I think I arrived in the States in 1921. Right. The reason I'm quite sure we arrived in 1921 because that was the last year that you became a natural citizen by virtue of your husband or your father being an American citizen. And we automatically became citizens of the United States when we arrived. I think that was 1921. So that, and I was born 1913, so that would make me automatically, I had my first first birthday party at 8 years here in the States.
Yeah.
In other words, we didn't celebrate birthday parties in Russia. I remember growing up, but who knows what. But here I had my first birthday party and my first doll.
Where were you born in Russia?
Near the Kiev area. A little town called Rizhin. I don't know that it's a spec, I'm sure.
Do you know how to spell it?
The closest I could get to it would be R-I-Z-H-O-N.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's...
Can you give us some of your early memories in Russia before this was pre-revolution?
No, this was... Yeah, I was born pre-revolution.
Right.
But it was during the revolution that... we came here.
Can you give us some?
Well, my first memory, I have some nasty memories there. First memory is I must have been about 4 or 5 years old, and there was probably a communist or a revolutionary takeover, and there was a parade in the little village that we were in. And my mother had made me a beautiful red dress, and I was in the parade on a wagon, so I think that's the first historical moment that impresses me.
Do you remember if she'd made the red dress particularly for political reasons? This is a matter of interest.
I think she made it because she knew it was coming up, and yes, she made it red for that reason. Why, I cannot tell you, but I remember being very proud to wear this red dress and be on this wagon and be in this parade. Maybe I was 4 or 5 years old, I really don't know. I have no idea. But after that, we are Jewish. The programs, which you are familiar with, became an everyday situation. Any number of times, we were in, now I mentioned we, Rizhin. We were in a village outside of Rizhin, which was about 20 miles away from Rizhin. And any number of times, our whole family had to escape our home and run to Rizhin. Eventually, my grandfather... I should go back. My father immigrated to the United States when I was about 8 months old or 12 months old, thereabouts. And my mother and family were supposed to follow. And it took another 8 years before we got there, or seven. We lived with my grandfather and grandmother and my mother, who was more or less the head of the household. There was also two uncles and an aunt still remaining in the home. One day my Cossacks, so I know I was sick in bed. I'm going backwards and forwards.
That's all right.
But there was no one home but my grandfather, who was ill, my grandmother, and my brother, who was 2 years older than I, still is, and I was sick too. At about 9 o'clock, it seemed like the middle of the night to me. I was quite young. Some Cossacks came and demanded money, whatever money there was, for my grandfather. They didn't really. They first killed him. They shot him. And I cried out, and somebody punched me in the jaw. And then they made my grandmother come up with the money, which was buried, incidentally, in the backyard of the house. And they went through every spot in the place and frightened, need I tell you. And they did get the money. But that, of course, was the incident that I remember very, very, to this day. Very clear.
Do you know why the Cossacks attacked your house? I mean, other than to rob you, but was
it? I think, no, we never did find out, but it would seem to me my grandfather was a fairly affluent Jewish man in this little village. He ran a mill.
What kind of a mill?
Flour mill. As a matter of fact, if you'll go over, or you can, if we're connected.
Well, we can perhaps do it.
I did a little bit of a sketch showing where the house is and the mill in connection. You see the windows towards the front? That would be the mill. And there's a bridge, and then there's a house. So that's something of it, anyway. I don't know why that would be. Why would they come and kill him first and then ask for the money?
Was there anti-Semitism in the village?
Oh, sure.
In the region?
Oh, sure. Definitely.
How did you experience it?
I was too young to know.
Did they tell you stories about it, your parents?
Not too much, except that really and truly they didn't, but the Cossacks were anti-Semitic. That was definitely known. The village itself, no. We didn't have any trouble with neighbors, but there were no close neighbors. After this, we moved to this little town, Rishon. And while we lived there, there was constant upheaval because different armies would be going through. And all of a sudden, we all had to desert our little town and run out and hide in the woods, which happened any number of times. I had an incident where I was running with my brother and family and uncles. And being the youngest in the family, my foot got stuck in the mud. And they almost left me there and because nobody wanted to be caught in the road. Somehow they pulled me out, the shoe remained. And then as we were hiding, I cried out, I suppose I wanted my shoe or whatever. And somebody said, we're going to kill her if she doesn't shut up. I remember things like that. But it was bad. It really was.
You must have been terrified as a little girl in those circumstances.
I learned something. It's taken me a long time to learn something. When things happen on a regular basis, sure, you're frightened all the time. But not as frightened as if that had never happened before. You know, I had already been exposed to so many bad experiences that I was frightened to death. Poor little me, they were going to leave me alone. But then you went right on. You didn't stop and think, oh my, what am I going to do now? You had to go on, and you did.
These marauding armies, these were from different...
Different countries, yes. But as they would pass our little village, we would almost get like a signal or some sort of information that this is happening, and we would desert the city. That happened at least three times in my memory.
Now, your father...
Was not there.
He'd already immigrated to the United States.
Mm-hmm, before all this happened.
Why had he done that?
I imagine, I don't know this for a fact, he had gone here perhaps to find a better, easier way of life, and then he was going to bring his family here.
Had people gone before him from your family?
Actually, there was an uncle that married into our family who had been here first, came back and married an aunt of mine, and they came back to the States, and then my father and two of my mother's sisters left for the States, and then the war broke out.
You're talking which war? The first war?
The first one, yeah.
Right.
Definitely the first.
Give us a little bit more of a sense of Russia, of this region, if you can, perhaps digging into the stories your parents may have told you, even afterwards, about what life was like back then for you and your family. I mean, what did you, how was there enough food to eat? Were you warm enough?
Oh, yeah, yes. As I said, my grandfather was in a fairly good position, and we had this, it was a clay house, but it was a nice house with, that time they had ovens to do their cooking and baking in, and above the oven was a loft where some of us slept. They had their little garden, and they had servants' quarters there, so there must have been pretty good, but we were near forests. All I can really remember is the upheaval of the war. An incident where again some Cossacks were coming, and my grandmother being very worried about the young women in the family and the young men, I shot them all out the back window. Everybody disappeared. And gentlemen, I think I'm getting two incidents mixed up. But I remember running away too. So that had to be, I think, after my grandfather was killed. And I was there was a big mountain, a sand kind of mountain, or a dunes of some sort, where the greater part of the village was peopled. And I remember running up there, being run over by a horse's hoof, climbing up to whatever home it was, and crying out a couple of times. And somebody said, I think I hear a child crying. And somebody else said, no, it's a dog. And eventually they took me in, and my family found me there the next morning. Really, my memories are of a lot of upheaval. And running away and protect, because this, I seem to have been born about that time.
So how did you go about leaving those circumstances for America?
Well, Dad was here, and my aunts were here, and they tried to arrange passage for us. Now, we were in the heart of Russia, and we had to get to Warsaw, I believe, to eventually embark on whatever ship that is. What was arranged was maybe 10, 12 wagons. God, I can't believe this actually happened. I haven't thought of that at all. They packed food, they packed whatever they could take along. And there were, I don't know exactly how many families, but at least I would say 12 families that went by wagon, mostly by night, so they wouldn't have any trouble, till they arrived in Poland to go over the dividing line. What is that?
The border.
The border, thank you. You know, you're talking to a woman 76 years old. I can't remember that much.
That's all right.
We melted snow for water. We camped at night. We ate our meals. Eventually, we arrived there and spent about a year in Warsaw till the papers were cleared and everything was set up for us to go. At one time, they took Mom away from us there, too. My mother and my grandmother were arrested. And the three of us were alone. We didn't know what had happened or why, but evidently there was something that wasn't right. See, I was quite young, really, and details did not seem to come over to me. Or actually, they were covered up a lot. So I don't know why they were taken, but they were gone for about 3 days. Then they came back. And eventually, we went from there to somewhere, I guess to Berlin. And embarked on the boat and came to the States. Trying to remember, there was another incident that was of some interest. As I was telling you about Poland, it crossed over, and I can't recall it.
Maybe we'll get back to that.
It's not important.
Tell us about the actual trip across to the United States. Can you tell us? Do you remember that? You were very young again, of course.
I was deathly sick all the way. Somewhere along the line, I think must have been probably from Warsaw into Germany, but anyway, a train hit my hand. A train door hit my hand, and I had a very bad situation there. I remember that all my mother's jewels and furs were either taken or she sold them. And so when we got on the boat and I saw some women dressed beautifully, I regretted that my mother didn't have her things anymore. I was very, very sick on the boat. My brother had a ball. We were in second passage. You know, the first class, second class, and then there was steerage and so on, which I didn't get to know very much of because I was sick in bed most of the time, throwing up dreadfully. Last day, I finally recovered. And I particularly remember the arrival and everyone pointing out the Statue of Liberty. And we're here. We made it. And the excitement of everybody. The particular memory I wanted to share with you was my memory in Ellis Island itself, which I found, well, which I haven't forgotten. I think by then I was old enough for things to take hold, for one thing, and for another thing, I thought they were extraordinary. Now that I'm talking about it, it seems ridiculous. We arrived there, and everyone got separated to a different section. And the first night, they were celebrating Christmas. I had never heard of Christmas. And I had a movie, which I'd never seen or heard. And there was Santa Claus. And all the beauty of Christmas suddenly hit me. What is this, you know? Very exciting. And we got little tiny gifts. That was the first night.
They were provided by Ellis Island?
Yeah. It was like a large assembly. A huge assembly, and all the new newcomers were, maybe they had several seatings, I don't know, but we were in on one seating. I guess we had cots for beds, and we were assigned our beds. The next day, my mother was taken from us. Mother had had pneumonia, a very severe case of pneumonia, and had very, you see how my knuckles are, her nails were very, very bad. It could have been arthritis, who knows. But evidently they questioned that and wondered if she was diseased in any way and did not want to let her in the States. So they took her away. We did not know why or what. Mom was gone. And there was just my brother and I at that point. And suddenly when we started traveling to Poland and started this trip, my grandmother was with us and two uncles and an aunt. In Poland, we separated. They went on a different boat, and we went on a different boat. One uncle went via Canada, the oldest, I guess. Anyhow, mother was not with us. So there was my brother and I, and I had to keep clean. I remember taking his wash and washing it, and all the elderly ladies ooing this little kid washing clothes, and I felt so proud and grown up. And I thought I was taking care of my brother. And they provided food for us. I ate my first hot dog there. I ate my first banana there. And these were revelations. You know, I'd never seen them. Very exciting for this little kid. The next day, my brother came down with the measles. They took him away. And I was left alone. And they put an identification tag on me. The authorities, I'm sure. And, of course, we had no idea what it was. Now, talk about frightened. Then I was frightened. I was alone, and there was this tag, and everyone was guessing, what does this mean? Nobody knowing any more than I do. I'm talking about the adults now. Maybe it means they're sending me back. Maybe it means they're sending me to my father without the family. Maybe it means that I'm sick and I have to be separated from everybody else. The stories that came up from this frightened this poor little kid to death. But we did have some relatives in New York that came to see us, and they saw just me. And they reassured me that nothing like that was going to happen. 2 days later, I had the measles. And you've been to Ellis Island. I wonder if it's changed. It must have. But from where we were, I had to get on a little boat. And it seemed to me go the greatest distance in, it was like a tunnel, a long, long tunnel till I got to the hospital. Eventually, I landed in the next bed to my brother, which it was great having the measles so I could be with him and be sick. We still didn't know what happened to my mother. We were there about 4 or 5 days, maybe 3 days, and a man came to see us. What we thought was a new doctor, my father, this is my dad, this is their 50th wedding anniversary, I think. He was a tall, blonde man, about 6 feet tall. All right, we were in the contagious ward. So he had to put on a white coat. And he was a tremendous kibitzer. So he came in,
Your father was a doctor.
He pretended to be a doctor.
Oh, I
for
see.
Us. He pretended to be a doctor.
Oh, I
for
see.
Us. Don't forget, he hadn't seen us.
Yeah.
He'd never seen me, and he'd seen my brother when he was a year and a half or two. It had to be two, because maybe three. My brother, being older than I, had sort of a feeling that this was our father. So he kind of whispered to me, "I think that's our father." And of course, I didn't believe anything like this. This man certainly looked and acted like a doctor. And then he said, "I do know your father. I've met him.